Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Power Up and Game. My name is Michael Mosley, and as always, I will be your host. And joining with me today is Taylor. Taylor, how's it going?
I am doing pretty damn good, man. I'm ready to talk about some gaming news. We got a fun topic to close out our show. And I got a question for you, because I finally just looked at our Discord for the first time this week, and you mentioned something that happened to you this week. You want to explain yourself?
Yes, over the past weekend, I was actually at SoonerCon 30 out here in Norman, Oklahoma. It was a really big deal for me because I got invited out to do a few panels. I put in one for myself on how to become a video game journalist.
So is this an origin story?
Well, I wouldn't say an origin story. I had to skip so much of it in my in my panel. But I also got a chance to talk about other stuff in other panels. The director of programming brought me on to do a couple of the panels, one with getting started with Twitch streaming, and funny enough, getting started with podcasting. So I got to talk about podcasts, and you best believe I talked about Power Up and Game a little bit. So I plugged this in there for a little bit.
I appreciate the advertisement.
Yeah. And I also got a chance to talk about cozy video games and why they're becoming more of a thing nowadays than they were in the past. And let me tell you, a lot of people really love Animal Crossing. That's one thing I've noticed at the panel. A lot of people brought up Animal Crossing as their go-to cozy game.
I still stand by that Animal Crossing to so many people, like whenever the pandemic first hit and everything, that was like one of the games that released, I think, right at that time. And
yeah,
I think so many people were playing that game that even years later, everybody still talks about it, I think, so fondly, because it was just that fun game everybody played and got to talk about.
It was, and a lot of panelists and a lot of the audience members, they said the same thing. It's like, yeah, the pandemic really pushed me towards some of my Animal Crossing because I couldn't see my friends, and Animal Crossing helped us stay connected with visiting each other islands. And I was like, okay, that's actually kind of cool, because me personally, I never really cared for an Animal Crossing franchise, but I do see the potential and I do see how it can be fun, but I never got into it. I have a few friends who are big into it. But yeah, for a lot of people, Animal Crossing was that game that helped keep them sane during lockdowns.
I never looked this up, but I wonder how the developers feel about that, because I that would be such a cool feeling.
That it would be
your game release. Like, you never would be able to predict that would happen. Like, it's a, when you explain everything that happened at that time, you're just like, that's fucking nuts. So just it to is. Be that one game to where, and there was other games too, Among Us is another one, to where just everybody played during that time and get a chance to connect, talk to other people and stuff. So that's just a really cool story, man.
It is, and a lot of people really enjoyed that panel. To where we almost went over our time. And I was like, man, I wish we had another hour, because people were really enjoying it and really connecting with us. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, because, like, oh, it was a 10 or 11 a.m. No, it was an 11 a.m. panel. So I was like, oh, no one's going to show up. But so many people showed up, and they were ready to talk about their favorite cozy game and how it helped them through a lot. I was like, man, this is really awesome. It's one of those times where you look at games and where you're like, it really does resonate with people, like, of all kinds. It's not just Halo and World of Warcraft, like stuff like Animal Crossing or Fix Fox or any other smaller games that don't have like a big end game kind of deal where you just go out and you do whatever you want and you have this freedom. It really connects with people. And honestly, I've never really noticed how necessary those games were until that day.
Yeah, it's really cool you bring that up too, because not to like throw us into the show itself, but we do have one story here to where I was just writing it up. I'm just like, man, sometimes people suck. Like, it's the most simple and dumbest way I could say it, but it's still kind of true. So what's on the docket for today, Michael, since I kind of brought it up?
Well, for our docket of today, it's going to be kind of odd for us because it's been a really slow news week in gaming. A lot of people are really hoping for that God of War state of play kind of
including
thing that
us?
Was rumored to happen.
We
including
were waiting for, like, we were recording this a day later because we're just like, maybe we'll get some God of War stuff, maybe. And then, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
We pushed ourselves back a day because we knew it was just a rumor, but just in case, we didn't want to record an episode and then it happened. But other than our slow news week, we still got a pretty good episode for the most part. We'll talk about the recent trailer that Arkane dropped for Redfall, which, as many people know, I am looking forward to Redfall. Battle Royale gaming Spellbreak is shutting down in early 2023. Cuphead has finally released its final DLC. We'll react to Monkey Island creator Ron Gilbert saying he won't be posting about the game due to toxic comments. And I think that's what you were alluding to a little earlier. And since a game's visuals are what sparked the Monkey Island and Ron Gilbert's news today, we're going to end our topics this week on a bright note. In our main topic, we'll be listing off the 5 most gorgeous video games we have ever played. We might have some nostalgia glasses on for that one, but it should be fine. So let's get into it. But before we get into it, there is one thing I did want to bring up to you.
What's that?
When it comes to some of the comments that people have when it comes to video games, do you think that is going to mess with your top 5 pick?
Like other people's,
other people's opinion, because you brought up nostalgia.
Now, one thing I did do when making my list, I did go through and just, because you're trying to, it's hard to think back at all the games you played. So I did go through and I Googled like people's, like, hey, what do you think is a great looking game? And then just some games that are just like, oh shit, I did play. Oh my God, that was so gorgeous. So I did look up some things, but every game on my list, barring one, is a game I've played. So,
okay, I'm glad you said that, because I will be honest, one of the games that I did put in there was just thrown in because I couldn't think of a fifth game. So, I'm not the only one. I just wanted to make
correction.
Sure.
The one game that I didn't play is on my honorable mentions. So, it's still based on my list. I'm going to name out those. But I feel like you sometimes have to get inspiration from stuff just to, like, jog your memory. So, that's basically what I did.
Oh, well, speaking of jogging memories, we recently saw a new gameplay trailer for Redfall, thanks to Arkane dropping out of nowhere, to be honest. We had just seen the game a couple weeks ago at the Xbox Bethesda Showcase, and now we get a new gameplay trailer. The trailer showed off some more gameplay, character abilities, and a brief look at the customization included in the game, the loadouts and outfits, etc. Redfall is expected to release in 2023 after it got pushed back. I think it's supposed to be October of this year. And that got pushed back to 2023, but it's recent for Xbox Series X and S, and of course the PC. So Taylor, what did you make of this trailer, and do you for this or the more lengthy trailer shown at the Xbox Bethesda Showcase?
First off, and I don't know why exactly this thought came to my head at this time, but I love being the co-host instead of the main host.
Why is that?
It's just, there's something about just being the person to be asked a question and reacting to it instead of having to look at the rundown and all the info at one time. So this podcast is just a breath of fresh air to me. And I love Nerdstop movies, just saying. But getting to this topic here, I remember me not being as enthused about Redfall out of Xbox Bethesda, that showcase. And I gotta say, I'm more excited for the game now. After seeing this short, what is that, about a minute and a half trailer?
Yeah, it's almost 2 minutes.
And I think the reason why that's the case is because I think my complaint for Redfall with the Xbox Bethesda showcase, I was like, okay, you have these characters, but it seems like abilities were supposed to be a big deal, and I didn't feel like we really got that in the demo that they showed at the Xbox Bethesda showcase. But in this minute and a half, I saw, in my opinion, more. than what they actually showed in terms of abilities and personality. Everybody had their own little title card under their name, and I thought it was freaking hilarious. The loadout, so it was cool to see the customization for the brief seconds that we did. And I don't know, I just thought this was a fantastic short little trailer that actually got me back on board for a game that I was like, eh, we'll see, to, yeah, fuck yeah, this game's gonna be great.
Really? Because, I mean, anybody who listened to our Bethesda Xbox Showcase knows that I was already excited for Redfall. But really, this is what got you, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't, you know, I know it's a minute and a half trailer that barely showed anything, but it kind of got me back on board. So I kind of thought, weird, like, when I saw this story, because it's a slow news week for gaming news. So when I saw this story, I was like, all right, I'll watch the trailer. But I expected to delete the title and delete the story because I thought it was going to be a non-thing. Not that big a deal. And then I just by the end of it, I was like, fuck it, I'm back in on this game. I think it was great.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. I'm always down for more people being excited for Redfall. But wow, like that's the thing that got you, that less than 2 minute yeah. trailer, not the Bethesda Showcase.
I guess less is more sometimes. I can't believe
that. I mean, yeah, I guess so, because for me, like, when I saw the presentation when I saw the presentation at the showcase.
Well, technically, you're right. It's a presentation of a presentation.
I was excited for the ability they show, like showing the platform to get snipers on roofs. And I think they showed some cool abilities, like the little robot or one of the characters that's able to build up a shield.
Here's the thing. I am an idiot. I'm a self-proclaimed idiot. At the same time, it was a pretty lengthy showcase for Xbox Bethesda, and that's what they kicked off the event with. So there's a chance that in my mind I was thinking because it was the thing that kicked off the show, and maybe because they didn't show off what I was hoping for, really, that I was probably a little more down than I should have been. I think because Redfall, it's just its own little story here, and because it has the spotlight now, that I think I finally was able to take off all my nitpicking glasses here and be like, no, you know what? This game's going to be great. I'm very excited for this.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, there's not much that I can put on here because I've already went to high heaven and back praising what I think of this game. I think it looks fun. And this new trailer pretty much confirmed what I've already felt about Redfall to begin with. I would like to actually see, like, gameplay, like a demo of a level, at least half a level or something. Go a little bit more into different types of enemies. But then again, the game got pushed back to 2023, so it makes sense that they won't show a whole lot now. Because if they did, it'd pretty much be like, oh, this game is almost done. Why isn't it releasing? So yeah. I have to wait until early next year to get the gameplay preview that I wanted.
Either early next year or late this year, to where they probably show a lot more.
I hope it is. I hope they do show a lot more late this year, because then it'll mean that we'll get the game a little sooner. Because I think right now it's what, summer 2023 is the launch for this game?
I thought it was early 2023, but that might be me thinking about our next news story. See, I'm writing up all these things for the rundown, and sometimes I just bleed together until get to them. So.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help because October alone is going to be real busy for games, and so many games got pushed back to early and mid next year that, like, it is getting kind of hard to be like, I don't know what's going to be a solid confirmed date because everything's getting pushed around. But I am glad you brought up our next news story, because 2023 is already going to start off on a sour note for a few players, because Spellbreak is getting shut down. The fantasy battle royale from developer Politriate, I hope I said that right, that focuses on spellcasting to win battles. It was actually pretty fun. I played it a little bit. Have you played Spellbreak before?
I have. I actually quite enjoyed it. It wasn't a battle royale that I played regularly, but yeah, it was a game that I think I tried out. I really kind of liked it. Just never caught fire for me.
Yeah, I was the same way.
Yeah, the sad thing is it felt like one of those games that if they had like a major update that hit the mainstream gaming and all that stuff, I think it would have either stood a chance, or at least for me personally, it would have been like, you know what, I'm going to give this another shot. I might have been able to get me into it more. But there was nothing wrong with the game. I could see it having a loyal following because of the quality of the game alone. And the uniqueness of it for a battle royale.
Yeah, because you actually got to combine powers together, like ice and fire to create water, and they hit it with electricity. It was like, okay, this is actually kind of cool. The game had a lot of creativity, and although it hasn't gotten the attention of the bigger names of the battle royale genre, like you mentioned, Spellbreak was well-received, but unfortunately, the game is shutting down in early 2023, and it may not be completely for the reasons we thought. Blizzard has acquired the studio, and after acquisition goes through, the developer will be working on World of Warcraft as reported by VentureBeat. The dev team did have a statement for their fans, and it says, quote, "After more than 4 years of elemental magic and spell combinations, we've made the decision to end the development of Spellbreak. The service will be shut down as of early 2023. Thank you to the millions of players who have joined us in the HoloLands since 2018. It's been an amazing journey. Our vision was to create a fresh multiplayer action spellcasting game with exceptional movement and class customization that would give players the chance to unleash their inner battle mage. We are grateful to everyone in the games community for exploring the magical worlds and experiences we created together. Spellbreak was an ambitious project that saw our team push new boundaries in design and development, and we are excited to continue to innovate as we create new titles in the future. To all the Spellbreak fans around the world, thank you for the support and dedication that made the game and community so special." End quote. So, Taylor, you and I both played Spellbreak for a little bit. What are your thoughts on the acquisition itself?
As for the acquisition, I feel like that's more complicated because these things always go all sorts of ways whenever a studio gets acquired. But with the game getting shut down, it kind of sucks, man. I feel like this was a game with promise and it never hit its stride to where it like rose in popularity, but I always felt like I had the opportunity to. So hearing this news kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Yeah, I feel you on that. When I heard about Spellbreak getting shut down, because I saw it on the official Twitter page, I actually tweeted about that. I was kind of surprised by that, and at the same time, I'm kind of not, because on Twitter, the studio had been radio silence for 9 months. And it was like, man, something's going on. Either they're going to have a big update or something bad is going to happen. And unfortunately, it was probably because they couldn't talk about the acquisition and they didn't have any further updates or roadmaps for the game. And, well, unfortunately for players, man, it reminds me of another game that I really love, Gigantic, that I was still playing, that I felt was killed off way too soon. And I think Spellbreak, 4 years, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know the game was out for that long. It always had like this early access / beta feel to it.
See, that's kind of the similar feeling I had, to where it felt like that. But again, when you play it, you're like, okay, there's some work to be done. There's something missing, but there's also something here to where you can see it, you know, getting big.
Yeah, like, there's something about Spellbreak that truly was something different from every other battle royale. Instead of building, like, towers or whatnot, and instead of just hopping out of an airplane and grabbing weapons, you're a mage that's learning magic on the fly, sometimes actually flying. And everything had a counter to it, and you had to actually kind of play smart. You can just spam whatever you wanted. Because there's always a counter to ground attacks, air attacks. you can mix oil and fire, ice and water. It was just so much fun that I'm actually surprised they didn't make a huge push with this game. And I think that's what it is. When you look at the Battle Royale genre, you look at the PUBG or the Fortnite or the Call of Duty Warzone, what set them apart wasn't even that they were exceptionally good. It was their ability to market themselves. Fortnite market themselves as like this fun party game with friends that you can meet online and build stuff and do whatever. Warzone was, hey, grab some beers, grab your friends, and here's an open world Call of Duty.
Shit, dude. Multiplayer. You don't have to mention games like that. Look at something like Fall Guys that just went free to play. Came out on PlayStation first, and it just blew up. Because the, you know,
did it release on PC first?
I thought it released on PlayStation first.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I might be wrong on that. I don't know. Again, self-proclaimed idiot here. But, yeah, I 100% agree with you. It is a bummer of a story. What I'm curious on, and you don't see it too often, I feel like, these days, but it's a great idea that I feel like another developer, another talented team can be like, okay, let's take a look at this game and see if we can pull something and make it of our own, innovate on that. And I don't know why this game's popping in my head, but I think it's because I've thought about this for years, whenever For Honor came out. And I love the combat system of For Honor. And I kept thinking, like, man, if other studios get a chance to make a game like this, I wonder if they can improve on what For Honor does so well. But no game's really tried. So I'm wondering, like, is any studio ever going to try to make something like Spellbreak? Or are they just going to move on and keep doing the trend?
Well, the thing is, not only that, but they now have Blizzard IPs at their fingertips. Honestly, I wish they would have been able to keep doing this, but add in some of the Blizzard stuff, like the Warcraft stuff or any of that, or even some of the Overwatch stuff, you know, like Dota does. They just add in cameo characters that actually plays within both worlds. I would have liked to see some of that synergy happen. I think that would have been a great push for this game if they would have cross-marketed some of Blizzard's IPs.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But it's sad this game's not going to get any more DLC or updates.
Yeah, unfortunately not. But you know what is finally getting a DLC? Cuphead. Cuphead Delicious Last Course is finally out. And it's actually pretty simple. The long-awaited DLC is out on Xbox, Switch, PlayStation, Steam, and GOG. Whew, boy. Taylor, are you going to buy and play the DLC? Or did you even enjoy Cuphead while we're talking about it?
I really like Cuphead. Like, this is a game that it presents itself. There's something about this game that presents itself as like, oh, it's a nice little cartoon. Look at it. Look at all these cool designs. And you get into it and it's like, this thing's going to be the hardest fucking thing you've ever played. You're going to die so many times, you're probably going to turn off your fucking console because it's really hard. And yeah, it was also extremely fun to play. I felt like whenever you finish a level, there is that sense of like you accomplished something with this game. And I really love that. I probably won't play the Delicious Last Course DLC. But it's really cool that this game's getting one last hurrah before Studio MDHR moves on to whatever it is next. Which you gotta assume is probably a Cuphead too.
See, I'm the opposite of you. I love and hated Cuphead. I don't even remember.
Well, I think everybody did. I think that's kind of the point. I think that's kind of what they were going for. Is like, we want everybody to love our game and also kind of hate us for making it. And not in a bad way. Just in that way that's like, why did y'all make this shit so difficult?
Yeah. Honestly, that's one of the things that really like took me out of Cuphead. Like, I don't mind the game being tough. Like, okay, I get it. It's supposed to be like the old school games that were tough because they were short and they needed to be tough to make it seem like it was longer than what it really was. But the point that Cuphead wouldn't allow you to push forward unless you played exactly the way the developers wanted you to rubbed me the wrong way. And I hate that about Cuphead. I've never finished the game. It was fun for me. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. Me and my brother, we would we would do co-op, and we would play Cuphead, and it was fun for a while until we got to the point to where we couldn't advance in the game. So Cuphead is still sitting on my Xbox unfinished. So unfortunately, no, I would not be getting the DLC.
I think my one nitpick of Cuphead is, like, it was a design choice, and I get it, understand it. But I think for me, I was just, whenever they're like, no online co-op, at first I was like, cool, don't really need it. And then the game goes by, and months pass, and I start, like, going, man, I really wish it was online co-op to this game. Don't invite a friend to it, and we can, you know, kill a few bosses in the meantime of, like, us finding something else to play. You know, I think that was, like, I get the design choice. I understand it. They were trying to harken back to the old days, you know? And that's cool. It's just, I think them never doing online co-op throughout Cuphead's existence, it's something I wish they would do with the next game, for real.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, one of those things that I really just like, when it's like, oh, this is the way the designers want it to be played. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine, sure, but, like, you can still give players options to lower the difficulty or to play online with friends. Yeah. And it's like, well, yeah, you can lower the difficulties. You just won't be able to move throughout the game. Like, why? What's the point of that? Why can't I enjoy the game I paid for?
Well, I don't want to go ahead and move on to our next topic, but it does kind of, I don't want to say it goes into our next topic, what we're going to be talking about, but talking about somebody's, like, design, like, yeah, it's fine to critique it, but as long as you're not, you know, going overboard, I always feel like whenever this topic comes up over, like, oh, you don't like how difficult Cuphead is, and no, sometimes design choices are there, and you can respect it, you can still not like it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you and I said, we both enjoy Cuphead. Yeah. Like, we didn't like the difficulty, but, you know, we enjoyed it, and you didn't like the point there was no co-op, but we both do understand it was the designer's choice behind that.
And there's something about that I, like, appreciate, you know what I mean? I would much rather have something that I know came from somebody and they were passionate about it, and exactly, this is a design choice I wanted to be, over a studio, like, a corporate-created product. And I always go back in my head, as the first example, is like Zack Snyder and what DC ended up doing with Justice League, with the theatrical cut. I may not enjoy everything about the Snyder cut, but I enjoy that it exists. That this is what this dude had in mind for his entire plan. In some way, that it's a little, you know, disheveled, because there was supposed to be, I think, two parts to it and everything, but it's his plan. Whereas the theatrical cut, it's like, we're going to throw a bunch of shit in there because we think that's what people want, but it's really not. And I'd much rather have somebody's creative things in the game. That's basically my point.
Oh, no, that would be great. But unfortunately, in the world of gaming, not everybody sees it that way. And sometimes it gets so bad, the creators themselves have decided that they're going to remove themselves from the social equation. At least on social media. And I say that because Monkey Island creator Ron Gilbert isn't making any more posts about the game. As reported by VGC, quote, the developer has received criticism from some fans over the art style change between the classic Monkey Island titles and the upcoming sequel. Criticism which he has previously called sad, end quote. Over on Gilbert's personal page, which has since been shut down, Gilbert talked about the negativity surrounding the game. Here are a few quotes from the post. Once again, shout out to VGC, and you can find a link to their article in the description on this episode. Gilbert quoted from his personal blog, quote, I'm shutting down comments, people are just being mean, and I'm having to delete personal attack comments. He also went on to say, it's an amazing game, and everyone on the team is very proud of it. Play it or don't play it, but don't ruin it for everyone else. I won't be posting any more about the game. The joy of sharing has been driven from me. End quote. Whew, jeez, man, you hate to see stuff like this. So, Taylor, does this story surprise you? Do you think anything about the art style? And are you a fan of this series? And basically, what's your take on all of this?
So, first off, I kind of hate the fact that, a little behind the scenes here, we just got done recording a 3-hour episode of Nerds Talk Movies where we talked about Obi-Wan Kenobi Season 1, and it was a great episode. But, you know, it's Star Wars, so everybody who's seen Star Wars and is online automatically knows where I'm going with this, to where the topic of, like, online toxicity came up. So it's unfortunate that, you know, I then went on Power Up and Game, and this is one of the trending stories of the week. But with this story here, it doesn't surprise me. Kind of like I mentioned over on Power Up and Game, the internet is a place where people can talk, connect, and there's all these positive things, but there's also a lot of negativity around it. I'm not saying in, like, somebody just critiquing a game. I'm talking about just personal attacks and all sorts of stupid shit because it's anonymous and all that stuff. And it's unfortunate. It's sad. It's sad to hear these comments here. And I know there's probably some people who hear these comments and go like, oh, you gotta have thicker skin. And it's just, come on now.
There's a line. Like, you can be a huge fan of something or whatever.
We nitpick and bitch about things all the time, but we don't go out there and attack people and be like, no. It's not like we're over here going like, Studio MDHR, you guys are stupid. Because you like, and that's being very tame compared to what you see.
Oh yeah, people make legit death threats at developers, at the community manager who has nothing to do with the actual game. He's just online trying to tell people what's going on with the games, and they're like, "We'll kill you." Like, why? I'm just a social media guy. But yeah, on this show, it's no secret that I am not a huge fan of 343 Industries and what they've done with Halo, especially with their talking about doing with the Master Chief Collection, but hey, that's another story for another time.
Hey, you even giving them credit, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you've always been fair with criticism, to where you've been like, I'm not a fan of 343 Industries, where they went with the story, and but then you'll turn around and be like, multiplayer, fantastic.
Yeah, like I look, I'm a video game journalist. Like, a lot of us on here, we love video games, or else we wouldn't be on this podcast. I've raged at games before. Okay, I've done it. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, well, I've never said bad things. Like, I have, but never death threats. Like, yeah. I think the worst thing I've ever said, at least to myself, was, whoever made these decisions, I hope you get fired. but I've never been like, I hope you lose your life or your home and all this. Like, no, dude. Like, you, I like, good tidings to you. I hope you find another place. But this, what you're doing here, you obviously don't fit this this game or whatever. But never death threats, man. There's a line, all right? It's just a video game. You're going to play it. And if it's really bad, chances are you're going to forget it. You're going to move on to another game next week or even tomorrow. And you're going to move on with your life. Nobody's life should be threatened over a video game. Especially over, I don't like the way it looks. Okay, well then don't play it. Oh my goodness, that is ridiculous. The art style, I've always said this, but gamers are dicks. All right, we love to sit here and pretend it's an art form. Video games is an art form. We can tell fantastic stories. Yes, we can. But I will openly admit that gamers, I'm including myself, we are dicks. Like, it's ridiculous how far some people go over a virtual games. Like, this, it's not that serious. These people are doing their jobs. They have an art style. They like, this isn't just something they picked on day one. Like, they spend months. I'm just assuming, because this is how I know a little bit about how game development works. Not completely. I'm not an expert, but I do know you don't just pick an art style right away. You have different artists who have their own style, and you pick something that everybody feels, this represents what we're going for in the game. So whatever art style they pick, I know it's not something they just like, oh, okay, yeah, Susie, whatever you got going, yeah, let's do it with that. This is something that they are all proud of, that they all picked and were like, yeah, this looks good. This represents Monkey Island. This represents something that we are going with. And, you know, we've seen it before. Halo had a certain art style that a lot of gamers didn't like because it didn't really look like some of the older Halo games, but that got changed up. It even took a whole year, amongst other things. But yeah, when it comes to toxicity, it is ridiculous. And this just proves what I've been saying for years, that gamers are dicks. And I do not blame Mr. Gilbert from pretty much going radio silence and not wanting to show off more of the games until they're good and ready, which I think is the right call, because this can have a huge impact on the team's morale and mental health. And I think that's something gamers really do need to take into consideration. Yes, I do think there are some things that you do need a thicker skin. I am looking at DICE for when they said, I forget, I don't know if it was the director or one of the leads, but when they said that the expectations gamers had for Battlefield 2042 was ridiculous, or it was like, or like it was too much. It was like, no, people just want a working game with content. That, I think, counts as need a thicker skin. But something like this, to where you're sending threats or you're just criticizing, nitpicking over nothing, to the point to where you are attacking the developer and the creator himself, I think at that point you are harassing, you are being a dick for no reason.
The one broad stroke I can go out and say is like, yeah, death threats, personal attacks, it's fucking stupid. Like, don't do that. Come on now, be better. But whenever it comes to, for example, you brought up Battlefield 2042, that's where I think a little nuance is coming in, where it's like, EA, DICE, you both know how big expectations would be of this game. So I think that's just something to kind of like fall back over and be like, see, look, the expectations were just too high. But in the case of art style, I do think it's a different story. You know what I mean? I think it is apples and oranges. And that's not to say that criticism over the art style isn't warranted either. Because I can understand somebody being like, man, I do feel like it's kind of a downgrade. Or some people probably the opposite. Like, I actually really enjoy this art style. But that's where I'm coming from. It's like, I think there's some nuance there. The problem is like you said, whenever people go into death threats and personal attacks and, you know, stupid shit, that's just like, all right, now, let's be better.
But since we're on the topic of art style, we decided that we are not going to end the show on a down note because, man, that's not what we're about. Since the Monkey Island news story stems from games' visuals, it got us thinking, what is the best looking game that we have ever played? So in typical power-up in-game fashion, we decided to put together our own list of 5 best looking games we have ever played. Mind you, this isn't like a top 5. It's just like 5 random games that we could pull out of the top of our head that were like, yeah, I remember loving this game because it looked so pretty. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, we may or may not have some nostalgia goggles on for this one, but it's fine. It's our personal list, and we'd love to hear what your list will look like. You can either leave us a comment or join our Discord and let us know. With all that out of the way, Taylor, go ahead and kick us off.
By the way, preferably join our Discord and let us know. Just saying. My list is actually in a particular order. So I'm going to be going from... Yeah, I thought it through and I was like, I think I'm pretty comfortable with this. So at my number 5, going backwards here. Number 5, I have Grand Theft Auto 5. And I really love this game, man. I think... Now, I know people probably heard that and go like, oh man, GTA Online... It's been years, the animations are outdated, sure, but the visuals of this game, they still hold up today. And that game originally came out in 2013. Of course, it's been ported over to Xbox One, and then Xbox Series X, and PS3, PS4, PS5, all that stuff. But this game just looks beautiful. It really does. I think the characters look great. The Los Santos looks amazing. Blaine County looks amazing. This is, to me... one of the best sandboxes Rockstar's ever made. And for it to hold up as long as it has and continue to look good. And this is coming from... Everything on my list is coming from a console peasant, okay? I don't have a high-end PC. So I can only imagine all these games looking so much better with one. So that's my pick here.
All right, for me, I'm starting off something a little simple. When I first played this game... I did not get it. I was like, oh, I mean, it's pretty, but that's about it. It doesn't really do anything for me. And everybody was really hyping this up. It's Journey. Journey is a gorgeous, beautiful looking game. I will not deny that. That is one of the greatest thing about that video game. You played a little something that goes through multiple biomes, levels, and it's just such a gorgeous looking game, especially the sand level. Oh, man. I believe the game came back on the PS3, and that's one of the biggest deals. It's like how gorgeous and how well it ran on the PlayStation 3. But it was a short game. It's one of those games to where I felt it was more art driven than actually trying to tell a story or actually tell a character. It was one of those games where the music was beautiful, the scenery is beautiful. You go one direction basically. It didn't really need a whole set of complex button combinations. You were there quite literally for the journey, and I thought it was beautiful, but at the time, it did not do anything for me emotionally. And I say that because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, what an emotional game. It almost made me cry. And I was like, what the hell are you playing, man? Like, yeah, it's pretty, but that's about it. Like, it didn't really do anything for me. Not like the next game on my list, but we're going to move on to you. Actually, have you played Journey?
I haven't. And that's what I wanted to, I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to once again just state these are games that we have played. There's only one game on my list, which is in my honorable mentions, that I haven't played. And Michael, I think there's just one game on your list that you haven't played.
No. All mine are played. All mine are the ones I played.
All right. So, with all that in mind. With all that in mind, my number four best looking games I've ever played is a game that came out last year. And that is Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. This game, man, whenever it comes to the story, I think of the facial animations. Like, I'm big on the mocap stuff, like the facial animations and making sure everything looks, like, cinematic. I'm really big on that. And Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy looked so damn beautiful. I love the designs of all the characters, including Douche Lord. Because I think it kind of plays into the character a little bit, but I love the other Guardians, the way they looked. I love the planets. I love the ships, all that stuff. It felt like a fantastical outer space rock journey. And that was really cool. And I don't think the story hits for me as much if the graphics don't look as great and if the characters don't look the way they look and the performances aren't there visually. Audibly, they're there the entire time. Like, the entire Guardians cast kind of felt like they deserved, you know, some more nominations there from the Game Awards and probably should have won some more awards. But overall, this is just a fantastic looking game.
So it didn't make you cry?
Honestly, yes, at the very end. there's a scene with Peter and another character at the end where they're talking about, I try not to spoil it, they're talking about a very serious subject, and it got me. It was really good.
Oh, look at you getting emotional. You know, back in the day, EA used to ask, their slogan used to be, can a video game make you cry? And I really wish they stuck with that. But it's good to see that these
games... I thought you were going to be like, we don't make single-player games anymore.
No, this is back when EA actually tried. Before, like Ubisoft, before they became complacent and like, only went with known IPs.
But hey, you know, that's a story for another before time. Yeah, before we get into your next pick, I did, whenever I was looking for inspiration, I saw a lot of people putting like Assassin's Creed's and Watch Dogs 2 and everything on there, and while I think those games look great, I never thought like they were top tier to me. That's kind of weird. It kind of goes to show like how much this topic is subjective, you know what I mean?
No, it is strange because we're not talking about just the graphic, but the art style, like the atmosphere and the character design. Like, there's so much that goes into what makes the game look pretty.
Like, and that depends on the games. Like, some games that doesn't factor in is just like, oh, it visually looks great. And then sometimes, kind of like I just talked about with Guardians, the graphics help out with the atmosphere and help out with the visual performance and all these other things. So it is funny, the subjectiveness of that, and then going into like looking for inspiration. I saw a lot of people put like Assassin's Creed looks, I forgot which one, Odyssey. I saw a lot of Odyssey, saw a lot of Origins, even saw Unity after it was patched. So that was pretty cool. But It's just weird because I never thought about those games being in top tier, but they are great looking games. But what's your next pick?
Yeah, for me, it's actually The Last of Us Part 1. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the actual Part 1, like when it originally came out, not the remake. I mean, the remake looks cool.
Talking about the 2013 version.
Yes. Gameplay wise, did not fully care for it. I played it, I finished it, I liked it, and I liked it because of the story. I liked the characters. But when you talk about an art style, The Last of Us looked really good. Whether they did outside scenes, inside scenes, just man, Naughty Dog's attention to detail is just second to none. Their art department deserves all the raises and all the praises because, man, games that looked post-apocalyptic, that looked grimy, that looked dirty, they always void themselves of color to give that look of, oh man, it's destroyed. But with The Last of Us, the original first one, you know, they weren't afraid to have a little bit of color in their games, whether it was the tethered clothes of reds and greens or whatever. And when you step outside, there's actual foliage. There's a blue sky.
And you know what I think of section. With The Last What's of that? Us 1? I think of two scenes. I think of the giraffe scene.
The giraffe? Yeah, the giraffe is the best.
The ending with Joel and Ellie.
Yes.
Where there's no more action in that last scene. It's just them walking to the final destination of the game. And there's just, it looks so fucking gorgeous. Like, scenes when you're talking about all the, how colorful it could be in this post-apocalyptic world. And I was just like, man, you're right. Fuck.
Yeah.
A lot of games do go for that grimy, like we're trying to make it look gray. Like,
yeah.
Not to bring up the, I'm just going to go ahead and let it go. I was going to go into another Snyder cut.
Oh, no. You're completely right, because Snyder does that too. He drains colors and to make it give this grimy industrial look, which a lot of people do that to give that feeling that it's the end of the world. Everything is dire. But with The Last of Us, it was, yeah, everything's dire. Everything's dead. But there's still foliage. Everything's still growing. Just because man has stopped doesn't mean nature has stopped. And it snows. And the winter section looks really good. And like you said, that giraffe. Oh my goodness. I never thought a giraffe's going to make me happy. But I was like, whoa, this is a giraffe. That giraffe looks so cool. And for me, yeah, The Last of Us is definitely one of those games that I can look back on and be like, God, for a PS3 game, for any version of the game, it looks so gorgeous. And I am looking forward to what Part 1 is going to look. And I'm not paying $70 for it, but I am excited to see what it looks like.
Yeah, it definitely, I'm expecting a lot based on what they showed at Summer Game Fest. Just when they showed the side-by-sides of Joel and Ellie, I was just, okay, that looks a lot different. I'm wondering how different everything else is gonna look, but yeah, you're on the right track for sure. Just a great looking game, I agree with you. Next up on my list, there's not much I'm going to say here, but it's one that I felt like I had to put on here just because the art style is so gorgeous. So, I loved Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. I know when that game was coming out, that's not what's on my list here, but I loved Wind Waker. I know when that game was coming out, I was a kid, but I even knew about the divisiveness of it to where people were a little thrown off by the cartoony look. They didn't really like it. They liked the Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask more at the time realistic visuals. But I look at Breath of the Wild, and that just seems like the most natural evolution of Wind Waker's visuals to me. It's so fucking beautiful, man. Everything in this game is gorgeous. And for them, I love that they're keeping that art style for Breath of the Wild 2. And I'm glad they're just making a sequel to the game. Just because I get to enter this beautiful landscape once again. The only thing I really had a problem with Breath of the Wild 2, other than the temple stuff, was the fact that this is gameplay-wise. which isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about visuals, but just I hated how your weapons broke. I just don't think that works for Legend of Zelda, man.
It doesn't.
But the Breath of the Wild, just visually alone, just so fucking gorgeous. Like I said, I feel like it's just that natural evolution of what I loved about Wind Waker.
Yeah, yeah. I also love the look of Wind Waker. Wind Waker is still one of my favorite Zelda games. I like Toon Link. I don't care what anybody says. Toon Link was awesome. For my next pick, it's actually a number of games. It's a franchise.
Are you picking what I think you're picking?
I don't know. Oh, you know, what do you think I'm picking?
I think you might be picking Forza.
Ooh.
We do love Forza here. We don't really love Forza, the games, but we love the look of it.
Yeah, we always bring up Forza. When it comes to looks, we're like, yeah, Turn 10 and Playground, they got this, they got it locked down. Like, like we're not even oppressed anymore. We expect this from you.
That, again, I know we mentioned this before, but that's a sad state of affairs there, to where you're so good at making beautiful games to where it's now the standard, and yeah, I'm not as impressed anymore. Just like, damn it, I shouldn't be. I should be very impressed by what I'm seeing. But what's your next pick?
But my next pick is Ratchet and Clank franchise. I absolutely love the Ratchet and Clank franchise, even some of their weaker games like the reboot of Ratchet and Clank, which I didn't really like, but I also appreciate that, hey, you're doing a reboot because you finished the original Ratchet and Clank story. That's cool. I'm fine with that. Ratchet and Clank Future, those were top tier when it came to the look of Ratchet and Clank, because they were always pushing for that movie-like graphics for Ratchet and Clank. It was always cartoony and stretchy and fun.
And I'll tell you what, man, Rift Apart, they achieved that goal eventually.
Oh man, when they hit the PS3, oh my goodness.
No, I'm saying with the PS5, like as soon as Rift Apart hit.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna get to
that's when they hit Pixar. Like, I remember people comparing it,
yeah,
to a Pixar movie, and I was just like, oh, that's the peak of what they were probably going for.
Yeah, and man, when they hit the PS3 with Future, oh, dude, I was like, I'm playing a Pixar game. This is so cool looking. Like, they were right there. I'm sure if the PS3 wasn't super hard to develop for, I bet Insomniac would have hit that level two generations ago. But then it kind of slowed down the PS4 era because they started doing, like, All for One and the Ratchet Clank reboot. It was like, this isn't it, but it still looked good. And I was like, okay, yeah, it looks like Ratchet and Clank. It looks cool. And now we bring it to the PS5. Oh my goodness. The new Ratchet and Clank. Oh, Taylor, man, if I was on this podcast when that game first launched, I would have not have shut up about it on every episode. So it's actually a good thing. It's a good thing Riley and I wasn't on the show at the time, because man, you guys would be like, all right, we get it. You like Ratchet and Clank? Shut up. And I'm like, no, this Ratchet and Clank is amazing. And yeah, like you said, on the PS5, they definitely hit the Pixar level, not only with the characters, but like the scenes, the background, the character, the NPCs, the weapons, the particle effects. It just looks so gorgeous. But yes, Ratchet and Clank franchise for me is just one of the best looking games consistently. Best looking games. And that's why I had to pick the entire franchise for myself.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. You're kind of cheating a little bit. But I'll allow it, because also Rift Apart's included in there, and I feel like one of our lists, I know it's all subjective and everything, but one of our lists I felt like had to have Rift Apart, because how much everybody does talk about it looking like a Pixar movie.
And it's just flat out gorgeous.
I feel like that kind of legitimizes your list right there to have Rift Apart included. It's just like, well, fuck, it's hard to argue against that. For me, though, the next thing on my list is a game that I think just had an update recently, and that is Sea of Thieves.
Whoa, really? Sea of Thieves?
I love the fucking art style of this game. I love the... Wow. Just... The next sentence I say is going to sound really stupid out of context. But if you played the game, you know what I mean. I love the water. All right. The water looks so good.
No. That was one thing I think everybody agreed on when the game first launched, was like, there's not much here, but man, that water. That's some good looking water.
They went overboard on how everything looks cartoony, and it works because they committed to it, I think. And I love all the visuals in the game. Everything just looks so, I don't know how to put it into words, man. I don't even want to say crisp because I don't think everything looks like smoothly crisp and everything, but just, it looks pleasant. Right. I think that's the best way I can put it. Everything just looks like you're going to chill out. You're going to have a good time here. Look, we have a lot of stuff for you now to buy, and you want to get your ship the way you want it. So go ahead and work on those. You're going to have a good time, though. Go ahead and set sail on the Sea of Thieves. Look how great it looks.
I guess you could say it was looking cozy.
Oh, it does look a little cozy. I see what you did there.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of callback. I actually could not get into Sea of Thieves when it first launched. I played for like 3 minutes and gave up on the whole thing. So I was like, oh, there's nothing here. Okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I should probably get back into it now. Like you said, they added a lot of more stuff. They added a lot more stuff into it. So maybe I'll actually find something that I myself will enjoy. But I don't know. It's definitely a game.
Recently play it.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they added a lot of stuff to where the missions are a little different. It seems like I've done no research on this, so I might be speaking pure misinformation. But it seems like players can make their own treasure maps and post it to a board, and other players can find it, and that looks really cool. That's what it seems like whenever I went to a quest board. It seems like the missions are a little more diverse from what they've typically been. There's some more enemy types, especially on islands, so you're not just going on an island and hearing snakes everywhere. The customizations, it's a bit better. It's a lot better than what it was, to where you can customize your ship and your sailor, your pirate, however really you want. It's still not to the level that I think it could be at its peak, what it could be, but it's definitely like trending in the right direction. Like, you can see a lot of work's been put into this game.
Cool. Yeah, I'm gonna have to give it another shot. I don't know when, but yeah, you think the Pirates of the Caribbean part would get me back in there, but I forgot all about that.
So I think that's still there because I saw that option, so I think it's still there to like play that story, but I think it's separated from the adventure, which is the main play mode, I guess.
Okay, I have to try that out. But unfortunately, one game you won't be able to try out because it is no longer up for service is Gigantic. I really love the look of Gigantic and all of their characters, designs. You played one of several characters as you try to protect either a dragon or a giant bird. And I always wanted to be on the giant bird side because I always call it Mama Bird. And I was like, we gotta protect Mama Bird. It was just so much fun. It had a MOBA feel to it, but it was also a little more open-ended to where everybody was able to use their special skills to their advantage and counter without actually being restricted to just clicking on the mouse and pressing 1, 2, and 6 and wait for it to recharge. It actually felt like you were in control, and that when you won, it was because you and your teammates actually strategized a little bit and actually won. But that was just that's just the gameplay side of it. Unfortunately, the game did not get a big enough audience that stuck with them, and it fell into the same thing as the game we were talking about earlier, Spellbreak. It did not do a very good job of marketing themselves. They did not get that big push, and I think it could have been something special because it was adorable, it was cool looking, and most importantly, it was fun. And I really do hope that somebody comes back and gives it a second shot, but unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. But Gigantic is definitely one of the cooler games that I've played multiplayer wise. It had not really a flat look to it. It had kind of like this like this painted art style, like paint that was moving, but it was full 3D. I'm doing a poor job of explaining it, but I mean, once you look it up, I think you might be
able I kind of, like, I'm looking at it right now, and as you said that, I was like, I can kind of fucking see it.
Yeah.
I can kind of see what you're talking about.
It kind of has, like, that paintbrush kind of feel to it and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's just such a colorful, beautiful-looking game, and I was sad when the service was shut down. So I was like, gosh, dog, this was actually a fun mobile-like game that I feel was doing something different enough from the other MOBAs to where I think it could have stood on its own 2 feet, but unfortunately did not make it there.
All right, so my number one. I'm going to do my number one, and then you can do your last pick, and then I'm going to go through my honorable mentions. I think you have... Do you have a few honorable mentions?
I had one that I ended up throwing out because while it did look good, it wasn't really something I was like, boy, this is going to set the world on fire.
So that's what we'll do. My number one best looking game I've ever played. This was really tough. I'm going to say Red Dead Redemption 2. And I've been doing a lot of retrospective, looking back on that game and looking up stuff about it. And just the detail that Rockstar went through with this game. The amount of stuff you can do in it. And that's just all gameplay, but also visually. Like, you can see the journeys these characters go through. I love the fact that this is a 4-year-old game, but you go through almost a decade. There's a time jump to where you go almost a decade in time, and the characters look so vastly different, or you just see the differences in them. This game just looks so beautiful, man. I don't know where else to really go with it. The atmosphere behind every city feels unique. Like, Saint Denis, it feels like the industrial era times coming to the Wild West. There's just this big city feel to it. And you have a city like Rhodes that just, it's looks like it's about a few years away from just being a thing of the past. So, Red Dead Redemption 2, just probably the best game I've ever played whenever it comes to visuals. One of the best games I've ever played, period, but it is the best looking game I've ever played.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Like, yeah, they definitely, Rockstar, man, I couldn't get the name out. Rockstar definitely put a whole lot of attention in their details.
Arthur Morgan, dude, I'm trying not to spoil the fucking game. I know it's a 4-year-old game, but, Arthur at the beginning of the game looks a lot different from what happens at the end of the game.
Oh, the way he ages is amazing.
The way he ages and the way... All right, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it. The way that his face kind of gets so much more sickly.
Yeah.
Towards the end of it. Where whenever you get to the end mission, and yeah, the game tells you, like, oh, this is Arthur's last mission. He probably ain't making it very long. You know. Like, you've been spending time with this character for hours and hours. Like, you can tell by this point, it's like, Arthur's probably got a few hours left. He don't look too good, and he don't sound too good, and I just, the level of detail with all these characters, because it's not just Arthur, it's with Dutch, it's with Micah, all these characters look so fucking great, and just, you see the care put into them.
Dang, man, you went from, like, beautiful game to, like, beautifully tragic.
But yeah, man, well, yeah. That's kind of what the game is. Red Dead Redemption 1, but Red Dead Redemption 2, its story and protagonist. It is truly a redemption.
Yeah, no, I
you can't say that about the first one. Now we know why they called it that. John doesn't go through a redemption. He just, you know, kills his other gang members.
I mean, he redeemed the Wild West. But I get what you're saying when it comes to Arthur's aging. Because the way the art style is done in that game, the sunset when he's on his final breath is so beautiful looking that if you try any other style, it probably wouldn't look as good, but man, it just fits so well with the tone that they were going with.
And like I said, not only that, and not to spend more time on this, but each city just feeling so special on its own. Like, just the environment. Whenever you get into the swamps down by Saint Denis.
Yeah, the towns do feel a bit different from each other.
Yeah. And that's kind of hard to do. Really, and that's really what people, is. Like, you look at something like Starfield, I think there's a concern. And it's Bethesda. Bethesda is very good at this. Don't get me wrong, whenever it comes to making cities seem different and lovable characters and stuff like that. But it is a concern for that upcoming game. And you see it done so well here with Red Dead Redemption 2, to where each city has its own feel, every piece of environment. Like, you go to Ansburg near the end of the game, and until that point, like, there's certain areas that are a little creepy. Once you get to Ansburg, like, we're going into supernatural territory. And that's just really cool.
Yeah. My first game, again, mine's in no particular order, unlike somebody. I actually went through a couple of games myself. I was going to put Rise on the list, because I do remember Rise being a good-looking game. It was like, oh, wow, this looks so cool. But
that would have been a controversial one, probably.
No, it wasn't all that fun. It was a decent game, but like, quality wise, art style wise, I thought it looked good. I'm gonna stick by that. I think Rise is a good looking game. But I went with something a bit more simplified. For me, it's Mirror's Edge. The way that game.
I'm not mad at that. I never thought about that, man. That's a good one. Especially for its time. I remember so many people, I was in middle school when that game came out, and I remember so many people talking about, like, how good that game looked.
Yeah, it holds up today. Like, if you look at Mirror's Edge today, it still holds up. The skyscrapers, the overly clean look of it, this whole government-ran clean look. And then when you go in buildings, the bold shades of greens and reds, and using the reds to actually show you, like, hey, you can climb on this or bolt over that or slide down here. It was so good looking, because, like, it was a lot of games when you have one of those assistant kind of things where everything just glows, it looks kind of weird. And Mirror's Edge, when they use it, it fits into the world. Because everything is already so bright and bold, and that it complements the look of the game. And it's just Mirror's Edge, for some strange reason, it just captured me. And I think it might be because it's in first person, so you kind of have this feel for it right out the gate, because you're running it, but it's not in a third person, and you're seeing firsthand the city as you hang off of as you hang off of a ledge or off of a support beam, or when you're sliding down a tower and everything's just zooming by you. It just looks so good and feels so right that I was disappointed with Mirror's Edge Catalyst, like a lot of other players were. And it is really weird how Catalyst failed to meet the expectations of the first Mirror's Edge. I just, oh man. But yes, Mirror's Edge, that is my big pick, because whether it's nostalgia glasses or nostalgia goggles or whatever, Mirror's Edge still sticks out to me as this bright, colorful, bold look of a first person game.
I'd have to look at it again, because it's been so long since I played it, but I feel like a lot of the graphics from that game probably hold up. It looked really good. I think it is kind of what you said with it being a first person and the lighting of it, and it does lend itself to live on as long as it has visually. So I don't think it's necessarily even nostalgia goggles there, but even if it is, like, it's fine. It's your list, man. And I don't think that's a bad pick at all, because the game looks great. And again, yours, you said, was in no particular order, so it's not like you're saying Mirror's Edge is the best looking game you ever played. Like, I went on a soapbox there and said that for Red Dead too.
Hey, so. No, but you had a good reason for Red Dead being yours. Like, you're right, that art style for Red Dead does complement the story and the themes that they were going with.
Yeah.
So you mentioned some honorable mentions. So what were you going to say?
I was going to ask about your honorable mention.
So. Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead and go first, because you only had one, you said.
Well, I mean, I thought of a couple. Again, I was going to say Rise. So Rise, I guess, would be one of my honorable mentions. But John Woo's Stranglehold, great looking game.
Yeah.
Super slick, super cool. But for my last one, I would actually say Eternal Sonata. I don't know. I mean, look, Eternal Sonata is a great looking game. If you haven't played it, it's a JRPG. It was back on the 360 when Microsoft was trying so hard to create new IPs and try to get into the JRPG market. They had like Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey, and they, of course they had Eternal Sonata. Although Eternal Sonata eventually came to the PS3 because it's not published by Microsoft. But it was back when the Xbox actually tried to have some JRPGs on it. And Eternal Sonata is just flat out gorgeous. It has this anime look to it without it going into like a Ghibli style kind of art style. It kind of has its own thing going on. And everything about it, from the music to the character designs, I actually really, really like. And for me, it's the bright colors. They don't oversaturate it. They keep it kind of toned down. And I think that's one of the things I really liked about it. It's not like super bright, in your face, magical girl anime trope kind of thing. They play with their blues and greens in this game. And the greens are bright. The blues are just deep. And I just really love the look of this game. When you get the chance to look it up, give it a try. Even if you don't like JRPGs, I think Eternal Sonata is the kind of game that you would love to look at and eventually be like, oh, this is actually really fun to play.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. And like, it does look pretty smooth. I don't know when this game came out, though.
Oh, geez. This game came out... Well, it was back on the 360.
Well, I'm looking at a trailer from 2008. I assume this is an older game.
it came out in like 2007, so you're not far.
I guess I can go ahead and get in my list.
Please do.
All right, so first on my honorable mentions, I have something from your list, The Last of Us Part 1.
Oh, wow.
Game looked great. I already talked about all the stuff from it whenever you were talking about it being on your list.
Yeah, all you gotta do is say giraffe.
Yeah, giraffe and the insane. The insane, I like that better. There's something so, like, with the two characters and the way their dynamic is sort of shifted.
Oh, because it was tense.
And you just have this beautiful landscape that somehow seems promising, you know? I don't know why. I love that more than the giraffe scene. But next up I have Star Wars Battlefront 2 from 2017. Honestly, and also, I'm going to go ahead and put this here. I'm going to have The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Honestly, The Last of Us, Battlefront 2, and The Witcher 3 would probably be my 6, 7, and 8 picks. But oh, wow. This is the top 5 list. I think that's probably where I'd put them, to be honest with you. I just so happened to be there. But the rest of these are in no particular order. Not at all. Next up, I have Ghost of Tsushima. I have not played Ghost of Tsushima. This is the only game on my list that I haven't played. But damn, it looks so good. I felt like I had to mention it here, or I would probably spontaneously combust into flames.
The multiplayer isn't much to write home about, but the game itself, the single player, definitely a gorgeous looking game.
Visually, yeah, man, it just looks so good. Next up, I have Injustice 2. I talked about this with Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, but I love... There's something about like the intricate facial animations and it helping out with a visual performance on top of somebody's voice acting that I think Injustice 2 did a great job with. I know Mortal Kombat 11 also did a good job, but Injustice 2, I think, for its time especially, did a superb job with that. Castle Crashers, I love the art style of that game. You know exactly what you're getting into with it. An art style like Castle Crashers, for it to match so perfectly with what the game is, that's why I just put it on here. It's not like the best looking game I've ever played. It just matches it so well.
Man, you went back to like Newgrounds level. Oh my goodness, dude. Wow. That's, I don't know if some of these younger audience of our podcast know what we're talking about.
Oh, play Castle Crashers if you haven't played Castle Crashers, by the way. One of the best games I've ever played.
It is definitely fun. I got, oh my goodness,
two games from 2018 on honorable mentions here. That is God of War 2018 and Marvel's Spider-Man. Both games look absolutely gorgeous for various different reasons. Gonna go ahead and go through my next two here. This is some nostalgia goggles, understandably, but especially for its time, I feel like these games look great. That is The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which I talked about previously, and The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. For real, for Ocarina of Time to look the way it did when the game came out is fucking astounding. It really is. And for it to be something that inspires so much in the gaming industry even today. And I think a lot of that is also visually speaking for where they went. I also have Resident Evil 2, the remake. Cuphead, which we talked about earlier, is on my honorable mentions. Firewatch, Death Stranding, Modern Warfare 2019. I love the realistic look of Modern Warfare. Hades.
Ooh, yeah, Hades is a good-looking game.
I have the entire franchise of Forza and the entire franchise of Forza Horizon. You gotta give them some love. These franchises look so good. Spiritfarer. If you haven't played Spiritfarer, I highly, highly recommend it. It was one of my favorite games when it came out. I think it was 2020 or late 2019, one of the two. Just so gorgeous. I love the themes of the game. I love the characters. Just so damn good. And finally, just the, you know, bookend it here. My number one pick was Red Dead Redemption 2. And my last thing in the honorable mentions is the OG Red Dead Redemption. I think Red Dead Redemption holds up in 2022. Not as much as like GTA 5 probably does with all its ports. But considering when Red Dead Redemption was made, which I think was 2010 when it released, I think it holds up pretty fucking well, all things considered. All
right, well, speaking of things to consider, let's go ahead and head on out of here. All right, Taylor, what did you play last weekend?
I played just a little bit of Sea of Thieves, and I've also tried to get back into Assassin's Creed Unity. I played Assassin's Creed Unity when all the bugs were happening and all that stuff, and I beat the game, but I remember myself rushing through to beat it because I didn't particularly enjoy it. So
that's something you have to suffer through a game. Like, I'm going to finish this game. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to finish it.
Well, I think it's because I kind of felt like they wasted the French Revolution as a setting. Like, they didn't make the most of it. Like, they put a lot of people on the screen, but they didn't give me characters to give a damn about. You know what I mean? So it's been better than I thought it would be. I'm still not in love with any of the characters. I enjoyed Assassin's Creed 4 and 3 much better whenever I played them. It's just, this is really when you can tell that Assassin's Creed became more serialized.
Yeah.
And Syndicate, I think, was the last straw for it, where they felt like they had to reboot the franchise entirely. Kind of feels like Assassin's Creed is going right back there again with their RPG versions, to where they're going to have to do another reboot here soon.
Hope so.
But what have you been playing?
Well, for the past weekend, I've been at the SoonerCon, but I've been trying to catch up on a few things. I recently got finished doing a review playthrough of Roka Play's Beasties Monster Trainer Puzzle RPG. I'm gonna be honest with you right now, wasn't that good. It's really short. You could beat it in less than 3 hours. It's supposed to be a casual, relaxing game. And it is. I'm a sucker for match 3 puzzle games. I love those games. And even I felt disappointed by Beasties Monster Trainer. And I will go into details on that at another time. Another one of those stories for another episode. But yeah, I recently played that this weekend. Or last weekend. And I'm working on a couple other things. Including a VR game, hopefully. So, yay me. So, Taylor, what are you playing this weekend?
Probably a little more Assassin's Creed Unity. Depending on when I get these podcast episodes out, maybe a little Sea of Thieves, or I know you hate when I say this, but maybe a little No Man's Sky. Because I didn't know there was another update that came out that basically, when I heard about it, I was like, oh, I get to be Han Solo now. Fuck yeah, I'm down for this. So, I think this came out months ago. I forgot what it was called. I want to say outlaws or something like that, but like you can smuggle stuff now, you can create squadrons.
Oh, that's pretty cool. The only thing I noticed was that the game was coming out for the Switch.
Yeah. I think it, is it already out for Switch?
No, I think it's still coming. I think it's still waiting for a release.
So if I get the podcast ready to go and post it on time and everything, I'll probably play some Sea of Thieves or No Man's Sky, depending on what I feel like getting into.
All right. Well, as for me, depending on how things go, I might be playing this review for a VR game. I also have to work on Matchpoint Tennis Champions, a tennis game that honestly I'm not really enjoying, to be honest with you, but I'm going to finish it. And I have a written review up soon, and that's going to be my weekend. I get to I get to go around reviewing games. So that's my life.
Hey, it's Taylor, pretty good.
Yeah, it's not
even business. Even if it's a game you're not particularly enjoying, man. I really enjoy doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it does help me figure out if I like newer things that I would probably wouldn't consider playing beforehand.
Yeah, definitely. I played a few things, not to go into a tangent, but I played a few games whenever we, at the Nerd Stash, when I used to write for the Nerd Stash, to where it's like, that's really up my alley, but all right, I'll try it, and end up loving the game.
Yeah,
or end up finding something that I'm really like, oh man, I never knew I'd be into this genre of games, and turns out I am.
Yeah, it's always great when you get a chance to try something new. And you still going like, yo, I don't want to play. I really don't want to play this. But that's why you're like, you know what? I'm glad I sat down and played this. Like, I've had a few games that I was like, I really don't want to try this game out, but nobody else would take it. And I took it. I was like, I'm glad I was the one who got to play it. But Taylor, what are you working on, and where can people find you?
Just working on these podcasts. And also, you can find me in our Discord. Again, the link for that is in the description of this episode. Michael will also say that in probably about a minute and a half from now.
Most likely. As for me, I am working on a couple of review stuff. One for VR, one for PC. And you can find me on Twitter at @MOSLEY_JR. And if you find a widow in a fox hoodie, congratulations, you are in the right place. You can also find both of us and Riley, and of course other members of the Nerd Stash, and of course Nerds Talk Movies, on Discord, which is the best way to get in touch with us for now. Please consider dropping us a rating. It helps us out tremendously. On July 3rd, we'll be dropping our next episode of Nerds Talk Movies, where Taylor, Tristan, and Drew had a spoiler talk on Obi-Wan Kenobi Season 1, something that we alluded to earlier in this episode. And finally, check out thenerdstash.com, where you can find all kinds of goodie articles, whether it's about video games, movies, TV shows, you name it. You can also find yourself some helpful guides if you get yourself stuck in a few video games like Cuphead. All right, Taylor, thank you for joining me. And thank you to everyone who listened in, whether this is your first time listening or your 6,000th time. We'll be back
next literally week. Impossible, but
hey, there are people who listen repeatedly, so I'm sure
there isn't sure. People who listen repeatedly. I can probably confirm that.
But we'll be back next week to talk about some more gaming news.